You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down seeking to get ejected for targeting as we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for Chaos Fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and John Spears. In this episode, we get back into the swing of things as we've taken a couple weeks off lately. We highlight some of the dumpiest matchups from previous weeks, get caught up on the whooping of the week contenders, and take a stab at week 12 matchups. Levi runs down the power rankings, and we peer into the current playoff picture. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, we're back and fully loaded. We've got all podcasters on board here this week, Levi, John, and myself. It's been 3, if not 4 weeks since I've been on the pod. Good to be back. And we're going to jump into some things that we've missed, give an update to on the standings, playoff implications quickly, and then we'll update the whooping of the week, where we all stand on that. And then we'll kind of jump into this week's matchups and review those. So just a quick update on the standings. John and Lance have both clinched the playoffs. John sitting up top at 9-2. And not only that, has, 400 more points almost, or 300 more points than Lance, who's second. And so John really running away with this, looking like the elite team of the league. Lance not too far behind, as I mentioned, at 8-3. He has clinched the playoffs. And then I come in at third at 7-4, and I'm up there in points as well. I think I'm third in points. So third in the standings, third in the points makes sense. And then followed by Jeff and Jason, who are both 6-5, jockeying for position for that fourth position, and still have a chance to overtake myself for the third spot. And then it looks like here we've got Amanda sitting in alone in sixth for that final playoff spot. She's 5-6. But Levi and Rob are right on her tail at 4-7. And so that's going to be interesting to see who wins out that for that sixth spot in the playoffs. And then Derek and Joe, not out of it technically. They have a 4% and 3% chance of making the playoffs respectively, sitting down in the basement at 3-8. They both have to win out and probably even have some other things happen for them to get into the playoffs. So quick rundown of the playoffs. We've got, like I said, John and Lance sitting in the catbird seat. Looks like I don't want to say they've locked up the bye, but looking good there. So that's that. Any thoughts on the standings?
I start with the byes. I think John he might already have the bye locked up, but I think one more win of the next three will have him at least a bye. And he's got the inside track for, winning the regular season. Lance is right behind him. I think Lance probably needs one more win to lock up at least the 2 seed. And then with this 6 seed, I think, with Jeff and Jason at 4-5, 6 wins. I think it's always the magic number 7. I think 7 is the number you need to basically get in the playoffs. Yeah. Crazy things have to happen. So they can get that 7th win. They just need that within the next 3 weeks. Just can't lose out. I think they'll ultimately get at least one win and be in. So it's really the 6th spot that's everyone's fighting over. And with Amanda, thankfully, Burrow's not going to be playing this week. So that gives the other teams more of a chance to maybe jump her. But with me right behind her, she's beaten me. We only play once. So if I'm tied with only her at the end of the season, she's going to overtake me no matter how many points I have over her. So I think that's why she's getting a 66% chance to make playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then everyone below her is 29% or lower, which is Not great. Well, so like, not like like in the last few years we've had it where like everyone is in, and it feels like nobody's actually out, but like I think this may be like for me, like being the seventh seed, I think things have to happen out of my control for me to jump up there at the seventh seed. And I think in other seasons, the seventh seed just needs to win out to make the playoffs. So it's a little unique, I think, just the way we've had two top teams. Maybe we could even include Brad there as like the third top team, like pretty top heavy, and then the bottom hasn't been able to perform. But you know, it could be a crazy last 3 weeks, or it needs to be a crazy last 3 weeks for these teams.
Yeah, I feel like it's between you and Amanda, and the bottom three are gonna play spoiler to one of you guys, you know, more than likely. Yeah, the top four, I feel like, well, maybe the top five is probably in with Jason. Like, they got him at 89%. Like you said, or one of y'all said, like, he has the tiebreakers with 89%. Like, he can probably lose two and win one, and he's probably fine, just depending on who of those win beneath him. Yeah, it's a weird year being the twos already locked it up like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. We locked Me and Lance locked it up. I think it was last week. So like, we're kind of both in cruise control. Don't get hurt. Blah blah blah. I think Derek's gonna morph into the final boss and just try to take one person out at this point. I feel like that's what he's gonna become. He made a bunch of moves, and he's not out, but I mean, he has a very low percentage to get in.
So with Derek, he's his last 3 weeks, he plays Brad this week, so he can prevent Brad from locking up the playoffs this week. And then if Jeff loses, and he plays Jeff the next week, if he beats Jeff, then Jeff has to basically win the last week to maybe not get jumped in the rankings. And then who knows? And then last week of the season's Rob, who, you know, if he makes, he needs to make probably, so he needs to win at least two of his last three, maybe even all three, to be in the playoffs.
Is that
And
Rob?
yeah, if Rob ends up winning his next 2 weeks and then plays Derek, I think Derek could potentially put him
Right, I
out of
think
his
that's
misery.
a Rob. Derek's just gonna try to gather, collect heads.
But I think Derek's gonna get up for all three of these games, I think. The only one, maybe if Jeff wins this week, I don't know if that game's gonna matter. But this week against Brad, and then last week against Rob, that could definitely play a factor. But and then with Joey and Amy, they get to play spoiler to me and Amanda. They play Jeff this week. Maybe that could cause some things. But then they play me week 13, and then Amanda week 14. So I think that's the team that's gonna get the real spoilers and really make the season turn around. And maybe that's how, maybe because they play the that have that 4% chance, I think it's because they play me and Amanda.
Right. It'll be
And
interesting.
then also with me and Amanda, like both our schedules are kind of similar. We both play Joey and Amy, and then we all both play you with John. So it's kind of a mixed schedule down the stretch. And I play, and then yeah, Amanda plays against Jason. I already played against Jason. And what's my third one? Think it's Jeff. So Jeff, I think Jeff's gonna have a big impact on who's gonna be that sixth seed. And Joey and Amy are
Yeah,
gonna,
that
I
sounds
think
all right.
those are the teams to watch.
No, so a lot of different scenarios could still occur and could shake up the standings. And all's not lost for those at the bottom. All right, so we've got quick review on the standings. We're going to take quick peek back into the last couple weeks as we've missed the pod. I'm going to start with myself, mainly because last week, in week 11, I took on Lance. And Lance, prior to last week, was 8-2 all-time versus me. So he's really been a nemesis of mine. And I was able to pull out a victory last week, 202-177. I mean, not like the greatest matchup. Stephon Diggs comes in big with me there, 9 catches, 100 yards. And then McCaffrey just does his thing. He gets 3 touchdowns, 47 points. Really, I mean, not a, you know, much else on my side. But he gets some bad games from J.J. McCarthy and Knicks. His quarterbacks combined for 23 points. And he has R.J. Harvey in his lineup, scores just 13. He had Kenneth Walker on the bench, who got 31. He still would have lost if he would have played Walker. But, you know, Smith and Jigba keeps doing his thing. I mean, he's, what is this? He's wide receiver number one. So he is, he's been the most consistent, the most dangerous receiver. And it's really a big part of the reason why Lance is sitting in second place right now. So he gets a good game out of him. But Ibuka, Goddard, you know, some others just didn't really perform. But so I get a much-needed victory over Lance. I pulled within one game of Lance as well. So there is that aspect of it as well. But, yeah, so, guys, what stood out to you over the last couple of weeks as we've missed?
Yeah, I mean, week 11 was interesting. There's a lot of close games. I'll start with mine. Like, it was back and forth. And I thought I'd lost it going into the night game. Just because, like, the Eagles had such a good defense and the Detroit didn't even, like, play well, but Gibbs was able to get that 36 points. And then, what was the Monday night game?
The Dallas
game with, or Dallas versus Vegas, and, like, it came down to Geno Smith versus Brock Bowers, which it was pretty close. Kind of knew Geno's, like, and Geno Smith had to, you know, really have a real game, good game. He only had a decent game, but he always throws those couple picks that, like, put him back. That ended up being the deciding factor. And that, I think if I had lost that game, I think, like, I would have been with Derek and Joe.
They'd been in big trouble.
I think that would have been, I would be playing spoiler now. Now I'm back relatively, like, I don't feel like I have complete control, but, like, I can, things can happen in my favor. And then the other one that was pretty close is, but it's just, like, a struggle to get points was Rob versus Amanda. And it'd be 128-119. And, like, Amanda had, like, 80 points going into the Monday night game. And none of her players had meet projection at all. But she needed CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys defense to at least meet their projection. And the Cowboys defense is the only player that went over her projection for her to win. And
it's kind of hurt you in a way that she was able to pull that out.
It didn't really matter because, like, this was a battle for the sixth seed. Like, Rob would have been the sixth seed with 5 wins. It was like a
six
critical.
Half the...
Yeah, it was a critical game. I guess Rob winning wouldn't have been as bad because I guess it would have been because we played twice and 1-1 and I had more points than him. So I guess that would have been better for my interest. But it's kind of the same where whoever won this was the game of the week where whoever won this had the inside track at 6 feet.
Yeah.
And neither one wanted it.
No, it was, in fact, two of the top 11 lowest scores of all time. Rob came in with the fifth lowest score of all time with 119, and Amanda was the 11th lowest, both in the same game. So that's the trashiest game of the, not just of the season, of the decade.
And
the trash game of the decade.
Combined with the two better people.
Right. Couldn't crack 250 combined.
Yeah.
And
Joe would have beat both of them. They could have teamed up, formed a weak alliance, weak, spelled W-E-A-K, and they still would have lost.
Yeah. Any games you want to go over, John?
I think me and Jeff, like, I thought I was going to lose. You know, he was going into Monday night you know, he had George Pickens and Aston Jeanty, and Jeanty did nothing. Like, he's getting to where I think Jeff's a little concerned. Like, is he going to play him? Is he gonna be able to boom for him and stuff like that? And kind of Dallas the D, I think Jeff mentioned that Dallas the D has quietly become like a run-stop defense. Like, teams just aren't running on them, which is crazy to think. Like, most people...
They made some good trades to shore that up, and then he's healthy.
And, like, they proved it with Jeanty. He had, like, minus 1 point for, like, most of the game.
But I feel like it's also the Raiders. They just decided not to, like, he only had, single-digit, like, rushes as well. Like, I guess they were down
early. They got down early, yeah.
But, like, they don't even want to, like, try to run the ball. And they get down early a lot at being the Raiders.
And then Chase had an awful game, and then he spit on someone, and he's out for the next game. So that was like an all-timer. Just a
worst. Then he denied spitting on him in the
video.
I'd spit on nobody, he said.
You hocked a loogie. Yeah, you did.
We all saw that. What are you talking about?
So a worthy suspension, but it came at a bad time for the slops, for sure.
Yeah. And now let's see, who do they play? Who did the slops play this week? What was it? I can't remember.
Joe.
So, like, since, like, they don't have a good record, they had a great week last week. But, like, this team hasn't performed, on average. And then Jeff's was going into maybe a potentially easy matchup, but not anymore with, having Chase out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Yeah.
It's going to put them behind the eight ball for sure.
Mm.
Other than that, I guess we just want to talk about whoopings. It seems like whoopings have gotten pretty close. So we only max two, or the highest right now, only two whoopings.
Yeah, so the last 5 weeks has been a different player, a different whooper. Going back to week 7, Lance, and then Rob, Levi, John, and Joe. So we've been 5 different whoopers the last 5 weeks. And, going back to last week, Joe whoops Derek 270 to 169. John, prior to that, week 10, whoops Joe 289 to 205. And then in week 9, Levi took it to me there, 293 to 198. So Rob and I started out hot on the whooping chart. We both had 2 in the first 5 weeks. We've kind of slowed down. Or no, I'm sorry. I had 2 in the first 5 weeks. Rob had his second one in week 8. And so Rob and I are tied with... John's got 2 whoopings as well, and then there's a number of people who have 1: Jason, Jeff, Lance, Levi, and Joe. So that's kind of where we are on that. There's 3 weeks left.
Derek
so
doesn't have any.
No,
this will be the first year he's leading in the whoopings overall, wasn't he?
Yeah, he is leading in the whoopings. In fact, still he's got 14 whoopings. I have 12. Levi and Rob have 10. So
it's kind of like anybody that has at least 1 whooping going into the last 3 weeks has a chance at it, like
to get the battle.
I feel like if either Rob, Brad, or you, John, get 1 more, it's gonna be tough to take that from anybody, whoever. Like, and it's gonna come to tiebreakers, which will be whoever has the biggest woman takes it.
I think it's me. Yeah.
Of the 3 of you.
I think when I had the 343.
I know Jeff has the biggest whooping. But he only has 1. I don't know who's between the 3 of you.
What was his score?
He won by 119 points.
Shoot.
Rob won by 104 points in week 2, which is the second biggest. And then Lance beat Jeff by 101. Joe beat Derek by 100. And then there's others. But
so Rob. If Rob gets that 3rd one, it's gonna be tough for anybody to take it from him.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor can always do it. So yeah. And then Amanda's been whooped the most because
3 times.
So you got first 3 weeks.
First 3 weeks.
Yes.
And Derek's been whooped twice, and I've been whooped twice, and Joe's been whooped twice.
So more. Yeah.
So,
all the bottom teams have taken some beat downs.
Surprise.
Yeah, I'm not a bottom team.
Yeah.
You that was one of those weeks was the week you scored 340.
Yeah.
That was where I got destroyed. And I had one of my lower weeks. So Yeah, no, yeah, John, you won by 172 points that week.
I'll say it.
I missed that, yeah.
So, oh, that's the most?
Yeah, by far.
Okay, so you
don't. It might be the biggest whooping of all time.
We're going to say that it is.
It's probably. I'm not going to look because nobody cares. But
Brad's just memory holes.
That is the largest whooping.
It's probably. Yeah.
Other than Derek. Well, he didn't play nobody.
I mean, I can look real quick. It only take a couple minutes. Let's see. 117. 133. I whooped you by 133 points in 2023. 138, Levi beat Rob. 146, Levi beat Amanda. So 146, quickly. Lance beat Rob in 2020 by 166 points. So yeah, that is the biggest whooping of all time.
That one's probably going to stand for a while if I had to guess.
I would think so.
I would, 343 points, good luck.
Unless, unless Rob or Amanda keep scoring 120.
Yeah.
But like even if even in that, he needs to score 120 and then a 300 bomb to like to beat that.
That's lucky.
All right.
Yeah, that's really all.
Yeah, I think we move on to week 12. Right, so we've got the standings we've looked at. We kind of know where the whooping of the week stands. Three more weeks left in this season, in the regular season. And so we're going to jump into week 12 matchups. We're going to start off with the Scoops Troop taking on Victoria's Secret. Get this, guys. Amanda's 8-2 all time versus Jason. And, you know, I think Amanda starts out strong on Thursday night, getting 31 points out of Khalil Shakir. 8 catches for 110 yards there. And then Amanda's got, I like her lineup. She's got, I like Lamb and Rice this week. And you know, that D, I was going to mention this, that DK, Shamiri DK from Tennessee, he's wide receiver 21 on the season. He gets a lot of return yards. That boosts his numbers. And it's actually, it's been a smart play for her this year because he can have a mediocre game on the field as far as on the offensive end, but he can get, you know, 60, 80, 100 return yards and really boost his numbers. So DK's fine there. And then Jason, you know, his lineup looks strong as well with McBride and St. Brown. And I'm not in love with Aaron Jones or Montgomery this week. I think this is going to be close, but I'm going to take Amanda here to go 9-2 versus Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. I think this is definitely going to be close. I'm going to take Jason. I think Josh Jacobs being out is going to be tough. I think Jason can piece together. I think Detroit had a, you know, didn't look great last week. I think they'll bounce back and like blow out the Giants. So I think Montgomery, St. Brown, going to have great games. McBride's been great. And then he's got Daniel Jones off by coming in against KC. I think that's going to be a game of the week. And then, with Amanda, like, she always gets those. She has already started with 31 points. He always has those role players that just like have good weeks and fills in the gaps. But I think Jason can overtake it.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Jason here. But just to touch on DK real quick, what he's done to be wide receiver one, here's his receiving yards. He's had 0, minus 1, 2, 0, 17, 8, 70, 93, 5, and 14. And he's wide receiver 21.
Yeah.
Just those return yards, great play, great pickup. Yeah. I think she's going to need him to have a big week to pull this one out. I do like Lamb and Rice, but I think you're going to see like Antonio St. Brown come out with a big game. He kind of threw up a dud last week that they played. So, yeah, I'll take Jason here.
All right. So, 2 picks for Jason, 1 for Amanda. As I mentioned, Amanda is 8-2, so Jason needs a dub here. All right, moving on. We have got Farewell to Hope sitting at 9-2 in the catbird seat, taking on It's What Plants Crave, who are 4-7 on the outside looking in, desperately needing a win. John is 6-3 all time versus Levi. I don't like John's lineup a ton this week. He's got three of his starters on the bench. Achan and Sutton are on a bye. Drake London is out with an injury. And so he brings in Mike Hollins and Kenneth Gainwell. And so we'll see what he gets from those two spots. For Levi, this looks like a big-time Puka week. Tampa Bay's giving up a ton of yards to receivers. I like Puka to go nuclear. Gibbs just keeps doing it. I mean, you know, those two guys I really think lead the way. And then Jacoby Brissett playing against Jacksonville at home, coming off a 400-some-odd yard game he threw last week. He's looking pretty good. I wouldn't doubt if he has a big week. And I like Bowers and Judkins there. So I'm going to take Levi. I think it's going to be close. I think Bijan Robinson does have a huge week. But he's going to need something from Devontae Smith. Kyren Williams needs to have a good game. But it's going to be close. I'm taking Levi here.
Yeah, I like my guys this week. And catching John at the right time. He's got two byes with Sutton and Achan. And then London taking the week off. So definitely the door's open to, you know, give John one of those rare losses. And yeah, like I wish Dart was playing. I feel like I'd feel a lot better, but Brissett's been decent. He broke a completion record last week, so we'll see how he goes. Uh-huh. I'll take me.
Yeah, I'm just going to take myself just because I'm in first place. Why not take the best team? I'm not confident in it. I feel like Levi's probably going to take it. I think if you look at Brissett, he's probably a top five quarterback since week six, which is crazy. Like, who saw that?
Yeah.
Like, he's been killing it. Gibbs is probably going to have a monster game. So I think anything Bijan does, Gibbs is probably going to just, you know, yard for yard, take that away. I'm going to need my running backs, you know, to do what they normally do to kind of pull this one out. I'm not big on receivers this week. Like, most of the year I haven't been. But, yeah, but not confident at all.
All right. Those picks are down. And we'll move into the next matchup. It's the Purple Bleeders in second place at 8-3, taking on the Cleveland Steamers, who are 4-7. Lance is 7-5 all time versus Rob. You know, Lance gets off to a pretty good start on Thursday night with James Cook getting nearly 39 and Texans defense getting 26. So nice jump start there for Lance. However, he does have J.J. McCarthy going up against Green Bay. I hate that. I think that's going to hurt Justin Jefferson, who's also in his lineup. I think that's tough. Emmanuel Wilson, he's going to roll out, which, you know, is kind of everybody's waiver wire darling this week. We'll see how he does. But I really like Rob's lineup. I think Brock Purdy on Monday night coming back against Carolina at home. I like him to have a good game. Barkley and Jonathan Taylor, against Dallas. Barkley against Dallas. Jonathan Taylor's going to get his, even though it's against Kansas City. I like that. Devontae Adams should do well, I think, against Tampa Bay. I like Rob's lineup. He's throwing in Ramondre Stevenson because he's got all his Chargers out on a bye. And so I think Stevenson could do some work there. So and he's got T. Higgins with Chase out this week. So I like Rob's lineup this week. I think it's going to be another close one. Especially with Lance getting off to a strong start, Rob's got some work to do, but I think he can do it. Give me Rob.
I'm going to do Lance. I think this week the door's a little open for Lance or for Rob to beat Lance because he had a lot of buys. And, Bo Nix being on bye, and he doesn't really have a good replacement. He's got J.J. McCarthy. He's been pretty bad. I think he might play Shuck. I think that could be a better play. But it's, you know, coin flip there. I think he'll make it up. He's already got James Cook at 38. And I think he'll be able to, you know, pick it up. With Rob, he's got some buys too. He's out with Herbert. So I think it's kind of a wash. And Jonathan Taylor being back and Barkley, I think they could. If they don't have, like, crazy great games, then it's definitely Lance.
Yeah, I'm taking Lance. How often do you see someone projected 262 with, like, five players on the bye? You know, it's pretty rare. We'll see if that Barkley, if they can run on Dallas, like Jeff had mentioned last night. I think he's going to need Taylor to have one of those 60-point games to even have a chance. But what better guy to have, you know, to get 60 than Taylor? Higgins could be a good play here with, you know, Chase being out. But I think Lance probably going to hand Rob probably the whooping.
Okay. We got a whooping prediction from Farewell to Hope, who's sitting in first place.
Although so everybody I love Rob's team, though.
Everybody.
It's hard to phase down with JT and Barkley.
Right.
Like, that never.
If there was an equivalent to Lance's face with a team, it's Rob's.
But then Lance is going to stomp.
He's going to, right, because his face is slightly better than
Rob's. Yeah.
That's some kind of logic. I can't follow it, but there you go. There's John's pick, and that pick is down. We're going to move on. We've got, I think that the more I look at this, the more I think this might be the most interesting matchup, even though Joe's kind of in this when he's 3-8. But Intoxicated All-Star sitting at 3-8, taking on Slop Nasty, who's 6-5, trying to hold on to a playoff spot. Jeff is 6-5 all time versus Joe. And so that's close. And so I want to kind of talk about this for a minute. So look at Joe's roster. He's got Brian Thomas out, Pacheco out, Penix on the IR, Keenan Allen on a bye, Chris Godwin, who's really not had all season, questionable, and Bucky Irving. He cannot get Bucky Irving back, which has been killer to his season. I mean, I think we've all kind of forgotten about Bucky this year. I think when he went down, I don't know that it was expected that he was going to be out this long. But I feel like they keep saying he's going to come back next week, and he never does. And so that's really hurt Joe. And he gets a slow start on Thursday night. Josh Allen just gets 12, and Woody Marks just gets 14. However, Travion Henderson has busted out recently and it looked great, and they're playing Cincinnati. The downside of that is Ramondre Stevenson comes back. He's got J-Mo in there, Metcalf, and Mooney. I like Mooney this week with London out. Of course, Kittle's a great tight end matchup there. And he's throwing in Ferguson in his flex. Man, I think his team has potential, especially if he had Bucky Irving and maybe Brian Thomas, who's been kind of a dud this season, really. On the other side, Jeff has – I don't know if he's going to change this, but he's got Sean Tucker, Tootin, and Algier as his running backs, and he's got Genty on the bench. You know, and I know Genty had a bad week last week, and maybe he just hasn't set his lineup yet, but – I think at least you play Genty over to Algier, but that's just me. So anyway, and then he's also got Nico Collins, who played on Thursday night, who was 14 points, and he's playing Oyoshi Boss for Cincinnati. So we'll kind of see how that goes. This is good. On paper, this is going to be ugly, but I think this may be the closest game of the week, and this may be the most intriguing matchup. I'm going to take Joe in a nail biter here.
Yeah, I think we've gone opposite, like almost everyone,
yeah.
Other than maybe on mine. But I'm gonna go Jeff. I think Jeff has more like players that like I know what they are. I know they're gonna put up their points this week. I like Sean Tucker without Bucky. Sam Darnold, he didn't have a great game last week, but they played Tennessee this week, and I think he's gonna have three touchdowns. Pickens has been awesome. Drake May is going against Cincinnati. I think that's enough to like put up a good chunk of points. And I think with Joey's team, there's so many dice rolls here. Like there are a lot of like zero or 30 point players here. And I'm gonna take the higher floor than the higher ceiling and go with Jeff. But I could definitely see Joey, blowing out Jeff, like if he just high rolls a lot of these players. Henderson, like you have Ramondre playing. I think Ramondre's probably going to have more carries or more touches. But Henderson could go off for like a 70-yard touchdown. J-Mo, what he can do. Yeah. Mooney, like he's the number one.
Yeah.
We talked about this him. Week. He's getting a lot of targets. He just needs to get it. Dak could just decide that he loves Jake Ferguson again and give him three touchdowns.
There you go.
And I think that would make this potential whooping. But I'm going to go with the high floor with Jeff.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with that. I'm taking Jeff. If Allen didn't get 12, like it's his most explosive player,
yeah,
that hurts you big time. And you look at his bench, that's why you're 3-8. You know, it's hard to survive that. I think Dak's probably going to have probably a decent game. I also don't think he has enough firepower. Whereas I think Jeff's more of the safer plays.
Exactly.
And Joe doesn't have too much explosiveness, especially with Allen. So give me Jeff. I agree with Brad, though. I think it will be close.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that one pans out. Jeff needs to hang on here to the playoff spot. If he takes a loss here, he's going to be, probably getting a little nervous, start biting them fingernails and kind of seeing how it goes down the stretch here. But, all right, we got one more matchup to look at, and that's Black Sunday. I am 7-4 in third place, and I am taking on the Houdinis, who are 3-8. I am 8-3 all time versus Derek. This is one where, as far as the buys or injuries, I've got McConkey out on a bye, and Derek's got Waddle out on a bye. So that's kind of a push. And looking down the rest of these, I've got Michael Wilson, who I picked up coming off that huge week last week, 15 catches and 100 and whatever yards. I'm hoping he can duplicate something even close to that, which would be fine. I did also pick up Kirk Cousins, as Justin Fields looks like a big-time turd. And so I'm going to roll out Cousins and see if that Cousins pit stack can get me anything going up against New Orleans. And then, McCaffrey there and Hurts. So I like my side of the ledger with Derek. Lamar's playing the Jets. That's a good matchup. We'll see if Chase Brown can have a bounce back against New England. And then, his receivers are decent. Olave, Pittman, and Wandell. We'll see what he gets out of Tyrone Tracy against Detroit, which I don't love. And then he's rolling out Colston Loveland against Pittsburgh, which could end up being a decent play. He's kind of boom or bust as well. So I think this, man, I've been saying this, like, I feel like every matchup, I think this is going to be close, but I think I got a little bit more firepower here, so I'm going to take myself.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I think you just have you have a lot more players that on your side. If your players do what they're supposed to do, not I'm not saying like great games or anything. They just do what they're projected to do. I don't think Derek has a chance. Like Lamar and Derrick Henry could go off.
That's my biggest concern.
But like
and Mahomes,
I don't think there's enough there. But I mean, like you could have. I think in order for Derek to win, you need to have like a disappointing week and like plus I'm not even really factoring in Cousins and Pitts. I mean, if they do well, then this could turn into a pretty big blowout for me. So I think for Derek to win, you have to have like a clunker. So I'm going with you.
If I was an odds maker and I had to set a line for this game, I would put even. Like, I feel like your teams are very similar. I think the only edge that he probably has outright is Mahomes versus Cousins. I think everything else is probably pretty even. You may have a slight edge with Jamonta Williams over Tracy, but everything else tends to seem to kind of cancel each other out. You're very similar. Even your projection, your points totals are pretty similar. I think this is probably the game of the week as far as both your ceilings. I feel like are the same. I think your floors are probably not too low, probably in the 200s if you have a bad week. We'll take Brad here and put Derek out of his misery, but I would not be shocked if, this come down to the last game Monday night. But yeah, I'll take Black Sunday here.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a situation where, Derek's got to win. And so he's desperate for a W. If I get the W, it's going to knock Derek out of the playoffs. And
the Monday night game, you'll have, it'd be CMC. So that would have to be like, I could see maybe like, it'd be like a 30-point, Derek being ahead by 30 points with CMC left.
I'll take that. I mean, I'd rather be up 30, of course, but all right. So there we go. Week 12, guys, 3 weeks left as we come down the back stretch of the regular season. Still lots to play for. Still have some seeding that's on the line. The bottom of the league still has a chance. Just keep winning, baby. and you never know what happens. So fantasy football in full effect coming down the stretch here. Looking forward to it. We'll now move on to the power rankings next.
All right, everybody. We're going to get into the power rankings. And no Basham Index this week, but we'll try to get that next week as we get closer to the playoffs and see who really has a chance. But we'll go ahead with the power rankings. And since we've been off a few weeks, the power rankings have fluctuated a little bit, but we'll start with the number one because it hasn't changed over the last, month or so. And it's a Farewell to Hope. John hasn't really, he's kind of started to separate from the pack, and he's been an overwhelming, Peter's really, really like John's team now.
And for good reason.
And he has 80.25 points, which is a full, almost 12 points higher than the next team with the Team Purple Bleeders, Lance, 68.4. I think these two teams have been at the top for most of the year.
Definitely.
So
no surprises there.
No surprises. Lance has been most consistent. He hasn't. I think his ceiling is a little lower than John's.
Yeah, that's fair.
But if John has a clunker, then Lance won't have one as often. Coming to number three with you, Brad, Black Sunday. You've almost got playoffs locked up. Your only team was 7 wins. So you're at 63.55. So you're 4.85 lower than Lance. Which is, it makes sense because he has a full win. Things have to happen for you to jump up and get that bye, but you're still within striking distance. And you're the only one that I think the computer thinks can get a bye other than Lance and John.
Yeah, I think my team is similar to Lance's in that my ceiling is not as high as John's, but I think I have my floor is relatively high.
Yeah.
I haven't had very many weeks under 200 points. But I haven't had a whole lot of weeks over 250 either. So I've been living in that two teens to 230 kind of,
teams. The teams have to beat you, basically.
Right.
That shows where you having being only 4 losses. Yep. Coming to number 4, and this is where I think there's a big jump here, or the computers have divided here, is Slot Nasty, 54.35. Which is 9 points margin between Brad and Jeff. It's a pretty big jump there. Jeff been struggling with injuries. I think he's starting to piece it together. He has the 6th win. Him and Jason had the 6th win, so basically 1 win, and they're in the playoffs. But they have to get that last win, and there's only 3 weeks left.
Yeah.
So. It's not a guarantee that they're going to be there, but Jeff's been doing well and keeping up with everybody. Now here's the shocker, and the computers seem to like my team. Even though I'm 7th right now, I'm 5th in the power rankings at 53.4, and I'm less than a point difference from Jeff. And I've been putting up good points. I think, the teams that have beaten me have really overperformed, and but they've happened a lot. So I think the computer is still not, doubting me, even with only having 4 wins. And I'm only 1 win behind Amanda. So another win and Amanda lost, and I'm just there, tied with her. I think Amanda has the tiebreaker over me. It was just the two of us, but they think I can do it. And then number 6 was Jason with Scoops Troops, 52.35. So they got me with about a point above Jason. Mm. I think they're more likely they're grouping me, Jeff, and Jason together. And I've had the teams I've played have had great weeks, and they're not hurting me as much. But I think we're grouping them together as like potential playoff teams. Maybe they make a run, but they have to get lucky if they get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was just looking at all of your losses. In your losses, your opponents averaged 232 points. So, like I said, you ran up against some buzzsaws.
Yeah.
You know, in a few of these weeks, only one opponent scored under 200 points against you in your losses.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been putting up good points. Your average score in your losses is 204. So, I mean, you're still putting up over 200 even in losses. You know, so that's tough.
But yeah, you're only as good as your record.
No,
and I think Amanda has the inside track on me.
Yeah,
at the very least.
You said Jason was after you.
Jason's after me at 52.35. Then coming at 7 at 48.35. So that's 4 points. This is kind of a bigger gap, and is Cleveland Steamers. And Rob, I think Rob's team's very top of it. He has maybe the best fantasy football player this year.
Yeah.
With Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But he's had some weeks where, like, he has a lot of Chargers or, like, certain things, some management things as well has happened where he hasn't been able to put up the points.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Jonathan Taylor put up 80 one week.
Sure did. 86.
So he's never out. I think that's why they put him at 7. As like, you know, like not. I think he's a team that can lose anybody, but also beat anybody.
Yeah, and I need to take a minute to talk to my Hacksaw brother here, because you and I were talking off the pod, you know, just about some of Rob's matchups this year. And talking about as we approach toward, you know, the end of the season, you know, Rob, buddy, it could come down to, you know, you're in a tiebreaker situation and it's all about points, you know, and you come up 12 points short or something, you know, you're going to be looking back at some of these weeks where you failed to set your lineup, or you left someone in your starting lineup that was out, something like that, buddy, you got to get that right if you're going to be a Hacksaw brother. Like, you got to set your lineup in the very least. I mean, you have great players. You just got to make sure they're playing. So, Rob, get it together, buddy.
It's talking you up, Rob.
Yeah,
it's
in love, in love.
Constructive criticism.
That's right. Just get it together. We're Hacksaws, man. We don't half-ass this.
But, yeah, Rob's definitely not out of it. I think.
No, he's not.
I think he needs to win out to have a chance. Maybe if he's 2-3, the last three. Yeah, I think he could break his way with certain losses, but the margin is margin for error is very, very slim.
Very slim. Yeah.
And coming in number 8, where Amanda is with 46.55, so a little less than 2 points difference between her and Rob, and she's got the inside track at the 6th spot, and like. If she wins out, she might even have a 5 spot or a 4 spot. Like if Jeff and Jason keep losing,
yeah.
But they the computers have her at 8. I think it's she's doing enough to win. You know, like she has the great players. They've been injured, but she's been able to make it work with the players she's picked up. Like she's had big weeks from DK and some of those like. Players that like are Hail Mary plays, and they've come in clutch for her, and she's been able to get certain wins, and it's been enough to like just stick around. And now, we just got news that Burrow's not playing this week, but I think it's more than 50% that he's going to play next week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, she. I don't even know the word for it. Resilient isn't strong enough. Like it's at this point, it's like we might as well in the preseason go ahead and predict that Amanda will start out 1-4 or 0-5, but she will inevitably will make a run in the middle of the season, and put herself in a position to be that fifth, sixth playoff spot. And, you know, now with her team getting healthy with Rice and Lamb now back in the mix and then potentially Burrow, if she can keep winning, I mean, she could have a roster here that can make a run in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
We say, who saw that coming, but why didn't we? This is how it's been ever since she's been a manager.
Yeah, she's always drafted players that do well later in the season. Like, they get off the slow starts, and then they just pick up steam.
Yeah, it's uncanny. Uncanny, Amanda.
And right now she's beating the computer. She's doing a John Henry here and beating the machine.
Yeah, I mean, she's
at the 8 spot.
She's got the second least points scored in the league. Yeah. Just ahead of, she's barely ahead of Joe, who's 3-8. And here she is, sitting in sixth spot, ready for the playoffs. So, you know, she makes it work. What can you say?
Yeah. So, and then we got number 9, and this is the big change here. And comes with the big win Joe and Amy had last week over the Houdinis. Here's John.
Yeah, trying to ruin the segment, Jerk.
All the important facts.
And we got number 9. We tried to get this in for John because we didn't want to, you know, have a big head with the power.
Oh, he's got a big head. He barely fit the door.
Yeah. But number 9 in the Toxicade All-Stars finally got out of the bottom with that big win over the Houdinis at 39.395. Now, I think the ESPN has Joey and Derek not really, like, they have very slim chance of winning. Like, that crazy things have to happen. Yeah. I haven't really done the math yet, which will come in a week or two.
Yeah.
But that was a big victory to try to show that they, you know, have fight late in the year. They have nothing to play for, and get it over the Houdinis.
Let's just put it this way: if you're Joe or Derek, you need to realize that yes, there is a chance, but you cannot lose another game. One more loss, you're out, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, there is no other scenario.
There's never been a playoff team that's had 5 wins
or 9 losses. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the same with Derek. Derek's just like, the slide keeps happening. Last 3 weeks, he's gone from 8 to 9 to 10. And he can't just get a win. I think Derek, we've declared Derek's, this is the season from hell for him.
It's kind of funny to me, if I may. I kind of go back. I forget. I'd have to look. But it was one of the weeks that Derek was on the podcast. And we were on the whooping segment. And I forget, somebody said something to him about getting whooped. And he said, no, that's the last thing I want is to get whooped. I hate getting whooped. I'm not getting whooped, all this stuff. Ever since he said that, he's been whooped twice, which is interesting because he only had, I think he had, me and him had the fewest amount of times being whooped all time. And now I think we still do because we both had been whooped twice since then. But ever since he said that, he's been whooped twice. Yeah. So, and then Joe put it on him last week and then jumps him in the rankings. So, you know,
yep.
Joe's, he's going to do his thing, Derek. You know, we're not mad at him about it.
I mean, everyone has these seasons like that, you know. This is, I think everyone else has had a season like this, but Derek.
Or Lance. Lance made the playoffs every season.
So Lance is the final guy that hasn't had a season from hell. I think everyone's had that. That season where they remember, like, everything
last
went wrong.
Year.
We need to make that happen.
And he avoided it. Remember that? Like, his team, he was getting injured and everything, and he kept making the right moves.
Made the pickup.
Then, like, landed on his feet, went to the playoffs.
Well, one of these years in the future, when he starts losing, we need to start laughing at it. We need to make a big deal out of it, all right? Maybe even get him on the pod, you know, put a dunce hat on him, sit him in the corner, and just point at him and laugh. You know, something.
We could be waiting a while.
We got to wait for the Vikings to be bad. For like
that's right.
And the Broncos to be bad.
That's right.
Not one of the teams, but both of them.
Exactly, yeah. He does love them Broncos, too.
Yeah. It's his AFC team. And he just loves drafting them. We just need that to happen at some point. But I don't know if I mentioned, but the Houdinis have their points are 37.6, which is not if you double that points. So with Joey and Derek, if they doubled their points, it would not equal John's.
Don't
points.
Say that. John's only
80 points.
Look at the grin on that on his face. He's got a grin from ear to ear.
Damn right.
And I'll just say the computer has made you the overwhelming favorite. And
no pressure.
A lot of pressure.
No pressure. No, yeah,
it sucks. Like, it's getting like,
it sucks.
Yeah.
Keeps getting bigger.
Because it makes it to where, like, if you don't win, you're like,
you let down math.
That $22 million roster.
That's what it feels like. Our performance. So.
Yeah.
I just don't get anybody hurt. I don't want a reason to not win.
Yeah, you don't even need any more wins, really.
I'd like to win the regular
season. Just stop winning.
I think maybe one more win, you've locked up a bye for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And you're in the playoffs. You're healthy. So that'll do with the power rankings. We'll let me get a quick overview of the pickups. Nothing crazy. The big pickups this week was Emmanuel Wilson with Josh Jacobs out. There were a few bids to try and get Emmanuel Wilson to fill in. I don't think he's going to be like a permanent rest of the year guy. I think Josh Jacobs was maybe in a week or two. So the bids weren't too high. Like Lance bid 210 on Wilson.
But he may be like the last big pickup of the season. Could be.
Yeah. And it looks like Lance finally gave up on Jordan Mason dropping him.
Did
anyone pick him up after?
I don't know. Okay. There is another Wilson that got picked up, and it's Michael Wilson, who I picked up.
Yeah.
Who had 15 catches for 185 yards last week.
Yeah, and so that had broke a record in pass attempts or something.
Yes, 50 some odd pass attempts.
Yeah. And completions. And Marvin Harrison's out again. So.
I plugged him in there. Let's see. I mean, he's not going to have 15 catches again, but, hey.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets 6 or 8.
I got Christian Wilson.
You have a Wilson, too?
No, but not that. It's going to be W type names. Christian Watson. He had a touchdown last week. He's, I don't know if he'll ever be fully healthy. He's always a guy that's, like, questionable or, like, every week, but.
Yeah.
I think he's a fill-in for me because I'm kind of struggling at wide receiver.
I got like 5 of the same guys.
Yeah.
Green Bay.
No.
I don't think I'm playing him this week, but like if he has another good week and he looks healthy, I'll probably start filling him in over some of my other guys.
Right.
Let's see. So Slot Massey picked up Bashaul Tutin. For $25, nobody else made any bids. I think that's speculation play. Like he had a good week. They keep bringing him in more. I think if there's an injury, that could be like a really good pickup. TTN.
He picked up Isavash.
Cincinnati.
Keep an eye on this one, Jeff. Jeff laid out a nice scenario with Isavash. He had all these stats and stuff, and I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And then also, I think he gave out stats on who's the guy from Chicago?
Luther Burton.
Yeah.
The third.
I like him a lot. He just doesn't get a lot of opportunities.
There's a gambling stat for that guy, so he... I can't remember. I'd hate to say it and screw it up, but reach out to Jeff if you want a little inside track.
I think Burton will be the number two next year, and maybe they trade more, and he's like a good pick next year.
Yeah, I think Luther Burton. He's got talent.
So Isavas. Yeah, with the suspension, he needed to, Jeff needed to fill in for Chase. And then Lance picked up Tyler Shuck. Dropping Aaron Rodgers, I think the injury to Aaron Rodgers, he's a little questionable.
Yeah.
Not gonna have to worry about him being on his bench. There's plenty of quarterbacks out there. I'm interesting to pick Shuck. He's been okay about it.
I think that's just a depth thing.
Yeah.
It's just in case. It's better to have nothing, have something than nothing.
Yeah. You got Matt Collins for $13.
Yeah. I kind of just went a guy that I knew I could get.
So speaking of like Green Bay type receivers, any Buffalo receiver is like that as well. You never know what you're going to get week in, week out. Right,
but one of their receivers is hurt. Or not Butte.
He's playing.
Yeah.
Butte's in England.
So it's Matt Collins.
Oh, why was I thinking he's at Buffalo?
He was like last year.
Yeah. Continue. Carry on.
You didn't break the bank for him to pick him up.
Yeah.
So, he dropped Zach Ertz.
Three tight ends.
But you're pretty much out of it for the season, so what does it matter, You're just kind of tooling around.
In a way, like I'm just trying to
listen to.
This is unfamiliar territory.
Yeah,
It's like
you always trying to improve.
Like there's no reason for me to blow all my money right now because there could be a player that I could go out and get if need be.
Yeah, but
it's a great position to be in. There's no question.
It's great when you don't have to rely on the waiver wire.
Right.
When you can just I'll take a shot at this guy and that guy. I don't really need him, but
have to throw $200 at Wilson. I threw $150, I think, at him from Green Bay, the running back, just in case. Someone's going to pay for it.
157.
And I think Lance got it with, 160?
210.
Oh, he went 210?
Yeah.
He was upset that he went that high. He thought he could go lower. He was thinking he should have went lower and he would have got him. But he said, I think he was going to go 167.
He
would have ended up still winning.
Like 210's a little, like for someone that's probably going back to being the number two in like a week or two, 210 feels a little expensive, but like, I don't know.
Everything I've seen said drop all your waiver money on.
Yeah.
Just 100%.
I mean, if Josh Jacobs can't keep together, but like who else are you going to be spending money on the rest of the year?
Like those guys that have already been out.
I don't think it's bad.
I think the great possibility is that Aaron Jones goes down and then he's trying to rebuild
that, like dropping Jordan Mason is interesting.
I
get it. They've been going, they kind of been ignoring him.
It's wild to me.
And like, I have Jordan Mason in another league and like every time they give him the ball, he's like 6 yards.
Why do they love Aaron Jones over him so much?
I don't know. He's just like a better,
pretty good though.
He's a better pass catcher, I guess. But
but they basically just once he came back.
I would have thought 50-50, but it's like more like 70-30.
Yeah, I think Lance is just tired of.
I get it.
He's sending a message to the team. Like, I'll drop you.
Drop you.
But I'll let you go.
It's like a Brad to Rob. You missed it. He called out Rob.
I did.
But you're trying to hype him up.
Yeah. No, it was exactly what it was.
Don't
it was all
positive. Out, Levi. Don't give him an out.
He's speaking the truth.
Trade is one true love.
If you love him, you got to criticize him sometimes.
Hulk Hogan never betrayed Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
No, he didn't. He would never do.
You have a little weekend retreat or something.
And that's kind of all I got outbid Jason by $3 for the Browns defense, so I feel pretty good about that.
There you go.
And you got a Kirk Cousins for $1.
I was going to ask you guys, because I got this, John's going to love this. In my lineup this week, I have the Kirk Cousins Kyle Pitts stack. What do you think about that? With Drake London out, may not be a bad play this week.
Maybe.
And because Cousins, I believe, likes Pitts a little more.
I think you're better off with Cousins with Pitts than you are.
And he likes Mooney though.
And the Mooney is not a bad play this week either.
Me personally, I had London and he's out. I just want to stay away from that outside of Bijan. Because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get. Want too many players off of that daggone team.
For me, it's more Kirk. I mean, like, I love Kirk. He hasn't had a good game since last year. So this is kind of like. Make it or break it for him.
I can see you like that moment coming this week.
Good. I think this is the kind of a proven moment. And I don't think there's an in-between for him.
Who are they playing?
Who are they? They are playing New Orleans. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
division game.
Division game.
You know, could be tough.
Bad New Orleans too.
Yeah, it is. But
anything could happen. I think it's either all time bad game or you like that game for yeah. him, like four touchdowns, like he's yeah. back.
What's crazy is, like, one of the most talked about, made fun of players you've held on to and rode him. You're ride or die, Kyle Pitts. Like, it's weird that that's the man you've chosen to ride or die with.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, he's kind of been like a joke.
I've only started him for like 3 weeks. Kind of bounced around.
I feel like you've had him longer than that.
I had Hawkinson in there for a bit.
You love
Hawkins. Until I didn't. JJ McCarthy's god awful trash. He's not an NFL quarterback.
Lance, turn off the pod.
He is not.
Ear muffs.
He is not a. I'm sorry. He's not an NFL quarterback. And neither is Justin Fields, by the way. And Calvin Ridley is washed. And DJ Moore sucks. This is kind of all coming back to.
You know what? Gears.
All of the YouTube influencer podcasters who told me that DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley were going to be big time sleepers this year.
Shove it.
I did too. Oh, you know, Ben Johnson, he's going to love DJ Moore. He's going to be St. Brown. You know, Calvin Ridley, who else they got there? Cam Ward, number one pick. You know, all this talk, and it was like they both have been trash.
Which is crazy that they haven't just been, they weren't middling.
No, like, they've been bad.
I mean, it's been like, they almost heard that and were like, we're not going to allow that to happen.
It, yeah. And then Calvin Ridley got hurt and he's out for the season. And I said, thank you. Thank you, God. Yeah. So I can drop him and just be done with him.
Thank God that people get hurt. this is the low.
This is what fantasy football does to you. It makes you evil.
The thing is, like, that was my concern for your team. Being there, I was like, you have these players that are just on bad teams, and then they didn't perform. Yeah. And then you're still 7 wins. Like, I don't know. Like,
and he's had Kyle Pitts. He's replacing those players, and he swapped in Kyle Pitts, on potentially Kirk Cousins.
It's crazy that I was, like, I'm right, but it didn't matter. Like, my opinion was correct, but it didn't even matter in the long run.
So I was pretty good in other spots. I've been pretty good in other spots.
Right, you had to be. You had to.
I mean, we don't have to go through it all, but
yeah.
In fact, probably need to start wrapping this one.
Yeah, it's gotten a little long, but that was the bids. There've been other pickups, nothing crazy. Issa Voss, Joe and Amy got Darnell Mooney, and Derek got Rashad White. So
I'm gonna say Joe is nodding along with that Darnell Mooney pick, especially after what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Did she pick up Darnell Mooney? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
I think Joe would have done the same thing.
Yeah,
he had already had pickups.
Yeah, he would have dropped gold. He would have dropped gold.
Yeah, I got into the mind of that fantasy genius. Yeah. Lost in that
last leads. Last 2 weeks, Mooney's had 8 targets, 7 targets. Mm-hmm. It's not. It hasn't turned into. It's only turned into 3 catches and 1 catch. But like, they're looking to him.
Well, you like to see that, especially with London out.
But
London out, he may have 12 targets.
No, definitely a good play.
That's it. So that'll do with power rankings pickups. We'll move on to the mailbag next. Oh, man.
All right, let's jump into the mailbag. Amanda asks, well, who all be there? Just us three.
Yeah, just the three of us.
The question that she had.
That was her profound question.
We have a new recording schedule and doing Saturday mornings. So, like, we've been figuring that out. But, like, if anybody's down to help record Saturday mornings, let us know.
Yeah, so moving on, the next question, Jason asked, does it feel like there are more injuries in the league this year than before? Feels like almost every team has 1 or 2 players marked out or on RI every week.
This feels like more than last year. I really couldn't say. It definitely, I have one team in my other league where it's devastation, like just tons of injuries.
I think it's just more of a perspective. Like it depends on if you're the team that has a lot of injuries, it feels like there's a bunch of injuries. Like me, on the other hand, I've had two that were put out for the season, but that's really about it. And London's been nicked up. So I feel is that I wouldn't say that. But if I'm Joe or somebody, I would definitely feel.
I think it's more magnified when it's on the quarterback. I think there's a lot of quarterback injuries.
Yep. Year.
They happened early.
And they happen, and whenever it happens to a quarterback in that team, the team just be craters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Lamar, Kyler,
Burrow.
Burrow's been out almost the entire year. Dart got hurt.
It's been
Scataboo.
Daniels.
The quarterback. There's been a lot too. They're more cautious about players. You know, obviously they're paying some so much money, they're probably more likely not to.
Penix.
No, I don't know that there's been more injuries. I think that's just something. I feel like we say it every year. Hey, it feels like there's been more injuries this year. I feel like we say that every year. Maybe there is. I don't know. There's probably some data out there to answer the question more accurately. But I think Levi hit it. I feel like it's more the quarterback position, which, again, it does affect everybody else, right? So it's really neutered Chase Brown. It knocked Jamar Chase down a notch, you know, and T. Higgins. And so when you have these injuries, it hurts the whole team, really, to quarterbacks. And so I think that's probably more like Jaden Daniels. I mean, and then Terry McLaurin's been hurt as well. I think it's more team specific, but, you know, maybe the teams that aren't having as many injuries, like the Colts, you know, Daniel Jones has stayed healthy, been really good. You know, Pittman and that whole gang stayed healthy for the most part, Jonathan Taylor. So it kind of probably is more team specific, I would say, but I don't know. It may be something we can actually look into more accurately to determine.
I'd say it's probably close to the same.
Maybe a little above.
Maybe.
But I bet if we looked at it, it would be much more than the average season.
Just it kind of depends on who you had and how many of them got nicked up. Yeah. That's probably where you're at. Kyle wrote in, is the Hacksaw Alliance okay after both knuckleheads talked poo to and were then subsequently beaten by Amanda? Is the Hacksaw Alliance okay? Is this a wellness check?
So we talked about it in the power rankings before. Brad's trying to coach Rob up, you know, get him to level. So at this point, we're, you know, dejected. Like, Brad hasn't given up yet. I haven't spoken to Rob, but I know that Brad's still hopeful.
But how do you think they feel after both losing to Amanda?
Pretty bad, I would say. But I you know...
Well, again, let's peep in.
I do think it's funny that we all talk about early in the pod about, you know, how resilient Amanda is and how her team comes from behind and she gets all these players healthy and, man, she's dangerous. And then it's, you lost to Amanda. Which one is it, fellas? Is she good or are we bad?
Well, hang on. We're not basing off what we thought. This is based on how you talk trash. And then you lost to her. So what our image of Amanda is, it's how is it that your image of Amanda, and then you lose to her. That's what we're comparing.
That's what I mean. We never said that Amanda's team was bad. It's just that she talks the talk, and you all chirp back, and then she dumped on both.
She backs it up, and y'all don't.
Well, I mean, let's just take a quick look at the standings. Black Sunday, he's three games ahead of Amanda. So, I feel pretty good about it.
We're talking about the Alliance now. There's more. Keep going.
Okay.
Where's Amanda at?
So, I've already discussed this a little bit. Like, Rob, I'm pulling for him. I just picked him in our picks in the last segment, in the segment before. I picked Rob to win. I do believe he has the team. You talked about how great his team is. I agree.
I love his team.
I know. You've been talking all year long about how great his team is.
No, not great. I said I love his team.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, a lot of people love the Cubs and Kentucky football. They love that team.
So you're hiding behind that little
hiding at all.
Ambiguity.
I've been pretty out in the open about
Cubs
it.
Made postseason. I'll just say that.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, the Hacksaws are fine. Rob's hit a couple speed bumps. He knows it. He had a couple missteps in his roster. And
like, why do you love
Rob? We talked about it. Why do I love Rob? Yeah. Well, like, we don't need to go. Everybody knows why I love Rob.
Okay, we got to keep this PG, so
we'll move.
That's fine. That's
it's just like love is irrational.
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly. That's right.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
Rob doesn't have to win for me to love his team.
And he doesn't have to win for me to not.
Clearly, he does not have to win for you to love him.
Yeah, we're not in this conditional relationship.
Okay. It doesn't mean he's great. That was my point. Doesn't mean he's great.
This team. Okay, well, I used the wrong word. You love Rob's team, which I don't know what you mean by that, other than it's good. Or what do you love about it?
So to answer your question, man, I feel like you kind of got them on a tilt. They're not happy. So, or to answer your question, Kyle. He wrote in another question. John, you've clearly run away with it the season this year. Would that be enough of a win for you, or is this a meaningless without the ring? If you end up winning both, how does the CFL championship John Spears celebrate?
That's a great question, Kyle. Is it championship or bust for Fairweather?
It is. There's no question. There's no...
It's past or fail.
Yeah, there's no, like... Yes, I do want to win the regular season, and that would take some of this thing off, for sure, no question. But if I don't win at all, then yeah, I won't. Yeah, no, it's win everything, get your ring, and call it a day.
If I had your team, like and I won the regular season, and then lost after the first bye, it'd be hit like it's an opportunity lost for me. Like this may be, you know, this is a great team. I don't know if I'll get another team this good.
Yes.
Anytime, you know, it's.
It almost adds more pressure for sure, which is something that I didn't want, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be in this position than not have it, you know.
It's similar to when I had my last championship in 23. Like, my team was better than everyone else, and then in the playoffs, I was just like a wreck.
Right.
Like, Alina can say, it's like, it's just every game was very, like,
stressful. Yeah, it's like having pocket aces. Like, you know, you have to bet it, but it's not a guarantee. And it's nothing worse than you just get beat by somebody picking up some crazy player that just goes off. Like, yeah, this is a championship or bust.
And yeah, and then last year I made it to the final game, but like none of those games felt. I was like, I shouldn't have won any of those games.
Well, you were playing with house money.
Yeah,
yeah, right. I get it.
That's probably the more stress-free way to win a championship is you squeak in there and then you just...
We call that the CJ Anderson.
Hey, like, a win's a win. Yeah. It's a win, right? But I have a question. Jeff made a bold prediction at the beginning of the season. I don't know if y'all remember. He said both the Bashams would not make the playoffs.
Mm.
Do you feel like his prediction will come true? Well, it's not so much really about it. I feel like, hey, you're not going to bend to that.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think he's got minus odds right now with that happening.
Yeah. I think it's definitely... It was a bold prediction. Like, I wouldn't have taken that at the beginning of the season.
I mean, it's pretty simple. Derek's out, basically. At least I'm going to go ahead and call it. I'm going to say he's out. Yeah, he needs to...
Oh, my God.
He's out. He's 3-8. I mean, it would take... I don't want to say a small miracle for him to make the playoffs. Is that unfair?
No. Like, what, 4%? He would need 4% to lose. The right people to lose, and he'd have to.
We could do this 100 times. He's going to make the playoffs 4. Yeah, that's not a good chance. It's not very good odds at all. So Levi has a 29% chance, which is half as good as Amanda's chance, which is 66% according to ESPN. I mean, I could easily see Levi. I predict him to beat you this week. He'd be 5-7 if that's the case. I mean, there's a chance, certainly a decent chance, Levi can sneak into the playoffs.
If I win, then that'll change.
I think it'll flip
to maybe 50-50.
Yeah, I think one win, you flip those odds.
And then look at this, guys. Jeff and Jason are in a precarious spot. If they, let's say, one of them loses out, that means you're 6-8. You know, even if you lose two of the last three, you're going to be 7-7, you know, and so it's going to probably come down to some tiebreaker stuff. So And again, assuming Levi wins out. So, I mean, there's some things that need to happen for Levi, but I got to give an answer. I'm going to say yes. I don't think they both. I think they both don't make it.
I
do.
I'm just playing the odds. I think if Vegas was looking at the league and they could make a give people a bet, both Bashams don't make it, and it would be minus odds. It would be plus.
But if you did it at the beginning of the season, they would have paid a crap ton.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, it probably been like plus 1,000 or
yeah. Yeah, the last two champions, you know, not making the playoffs. Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, man, what are the odds? But it'll be interesting to see. I think next week we'll kind of probably know who has a shot, you know, versus who doesn't.
Yeah. So,
like,
and
for
I'll,
sure, no.
I'll be, so we'll have 2 weeks left after this week. So I'll have the playoff scenarios ready to go next week. And right. For anyone that.
Which I think a loss from you does not remove you from it.
No, I yeah.
It hurts. But if she loses too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So
I think I need right Jason. Back. I need Jason to win, and I've picked Jason to win. It's because I need him to win.
For sure.
So let me throw, I got a question. So. But just hypothetically, let's assume that John loses in the I guess it would be the second round. Who let's just take John out of the equation. Look at the nine teams, the nine other teams. If John were out of the equation, who would be the favorite in your mind to win the championship?
I think it'd have to be Lance, just because he.
That's a boring answer.
It is the boring answer, but like he doesn't score low. Like he's not gonna have a clunker. In the playoffs, like somebody needs to score higher than 225 to beat him.
I'm kind of fishing for you to pick me. I'm fishing for that, and I'm not hearing it. I don't like it.
Not yet.
He's hated your team the whole season.
I have hated teams.
And it's third.
And I'm third in points, too. So
I think, I think it's a toss-up. I think just because I'm so far ahead. Not to toot my own horn, but just like points wise, like it gets a whole lot tighter with 2, 3, 4.
I'll say that if the champion at the end of the year, if it's not you two or Lance, it'd be a surprise to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could see Jeff or Jason making a run if they get, you know, healthy and they hit a hot streak or something.
Yeah. Jeff's kind of had roster issues.
Yeah.
Like, he's had to tinker and figure out his running backs a lot. And if he figures that out, then he's got a chance. But right now, I'm not seeing it. And then Jason said, like he said, a lot of injuries.
We've seen league winners come out in the playoffs. Was it St. Brown? When his breakout game was in the playoffs. Yeah. Nobody had heard of him until the fantasy playoffs. And he came out.
Yeah, I played against
dominated. Yeah,
Joe in the championship.
That's what it was, yeah. Joe.
I was like, "Who is this freaking nerd?"
So I mean, you could see Jeff, you know, making a big time pickup, you know, week 14, 15, and then rolling them into the playoffs and, you know, leading them to victory. That's mm-hmm. always a possibility. But okay.
He's not picking you.
So nobody picked me. All right, thanks, guys. Love you too.
Yes, question.
I didn't answer.
Yeah,
I didn't even answer.
I know.
I said it's tough.
By not answering it.
I mean, definitely your third. Like,
you're third. You're clear
third. But I think there's it's close there.
Yeah.
I'd say, I would go third.
If you're third, you're last.
Yeah. You're second. Right. I guess you're first, you're second.
In this scenario.
It should be me, but I'm not going to be nervous as all get out. Yeah.
I guarantee.
I just want a bye. Just give me a bye. Just one last week. Nice. One less week.
Oh, I think you got the. I would say you probably have the bye locked up.
Yeah.
I guess you don't technically. I'm right there.
One of me or Lance has a bye, so one of us has the bye.
Yeah. So have you? Did you beat Lance?
Yeah.
So you've beaten Lance. You've beaten Brad. Yeah, so they both have to have more wins.
Yeah, which there's three games left. Brad, he can take it. I could lose out.
You have to lose out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'd be upset if I lost out. But I don't have to worry. I'm happy with that. I ain't got to worry. I'm in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's get in and you got a chance. Yeah. I'd say me and Lance are probably locked up. Probably going to get the buys. But three games. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's all I got for the mailbag. I think we'll, again, we're doing this on Saturdays now at 10 a.m. typically. So we might do a couple more because I'm off some Fridays the rest of the year. Yeah. So I'll try to send out a text and we'll get some more of y'all's questions. That's all I got.
All right, Chaos Fantasy Trash Bags. We're storming down the backstretch of the fantasy regular season as teams jockey for playoff position and seeding. The Hacksaws get put on blast this week, but we're not fazed by this targeted smack talk. Levi, Amanda, and Rob are battling for that sixth playoff spot right now, so we'll see how that shakes out. And Joe drops a big-time whooping on the head of the Houdinis last week as he looks to continue to play spoiler, which I'm rooting for. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.